really felt like we were called to be a part of that and to help support these other two churches in the community that have very similar visions, a little different personality. You know, that's the deal with all of us. We can have a similar mission, similar vision, but our personalities are different, and so our gatherings are going to look different. But it's all part of the beauty of the body of Christ. I just love it. So, trying to think if there's any other announcements I needed to make before I dive in. Is there anything? Am I missing anything? I will say this. If any of you are interested in being a prayer partner for my upcoming trip to Israel, I need 20 people that are committed to pray me in preparation and through. I leave on the 24th of August and return on September the 1st. We'll be teaching in Galilee and in Jerusalem on the Tabernacle of David as a model for what the church, the ecclesia, is supposed to look like. So I'm excited about it. It's very quick to get ready, but God's doing some downloads of revelation, so I will be ready, but I do need your prayer support, coverage for protection, for provision, for direction, and for his anointing, because if I don't go with his presence and his anointing, I need to stay home. I don't want to do anything without him. So would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you are fashioning us to be a house for your habitation, to be a sending house, that not only will individuals be sent out, but teams will be sent out to accomplish your work in the earth. But Lord, tonight we come needing a fresh establishment of what it is to be a gate of Holy Spirit. So Lord, as I present this message that you've given, I ask that you would give us hearts that will comprehend, that you would open our spirits up broader and wider and deeper to receive more of your Holy Spirit. Or that we wouldn't be a people who simply talk about Holy Spirit, but we would be a people who are filled and flowing in the power of Holy Spirit every moment of every day. Because, Lord, it is Holy Spirit that empowers us to go. So, Lord, open up our understanding. Give us revelation. Release a fresh impartation that we might move in the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The last couple of weeks after Patty Amstead was here and gave us the word about sitting as elders in the gate, Holy Spirit just says, we've got to understand what gates are. Because if we don't understand what a gate is, we certainly won't know how to be an elder in the gate. Right? I mean, does that make logical sense to you? But we've got to move into a place of understanding gates. And there's a lot of aspects of gates that we need to understand. The first week we talked about that gates are a place of entrance. I mean, that's pretty, like, nonsensical, right? You come in and out of gates. Gates are a place of protection because if the gate is open, anybody can come in, but there are gates that close to keep out the enemy. We all have gates of our own life, the eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate, the heart gate. Our soul can be a gate that we have to govern and determine what comes in and out. Because if you open your gate to your life up to all kinds of evil, do you know what you're going to be saturated with? All kinds of evil. And instead of having a tabernacle, because you are a tabernacle, right? Hello? You are the tabernacle of what? Holy Spirit. If you open up the gate of your tabernacle and let all manner of evil come in and habitate, what's Holy Spirit going to do? He is going to retreat. I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but he will retreat and you will not have the habitation fellowship of Holy Spirit that you will have if you protect the gates of your life. See, we've been doing this loosey-goosey stuff in the American church for so long, and we haven't had any power of the Holy Spirit because we have coexisted with demons. And you cannot move into the power and authority of the ecclesia of the church if you're running around with all of us bringing our individual tabernacles together, filled with all kinds of corruption and evil, and expect us to have authority in the heavenlies. Come on. We got to learn how to guard this thing. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let that soak in a minute. The very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. The very Spirit that was inside Jesus turned over the money changers and said, "My house will be a house of prayer." The very Spirit of the living God that was inside Jesus and spoke at the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth," dwells inside of you. How dare we defile the temple? Not out of a legalism of "I can't do this and can't." No, I don't want to. He lives inside. When you get a glimpse of how glorious he is, you don't want to do anything that will defile that. Nothing that will disappoint him. Nothing that will cause him grief. So we've got gates of entrance into our own lives, gates of entrance into the church, gates of entrance into our city. Because do you know Holy Spirit is the Spirit who restrains evil in a society? Do I dare go here? Look at the evil in our society. Where is the activity of Holy Spirit restraining evil? Where is it supposed to be working? Through us. See, we've got to get the gate here and the gate here, so that we have a validity and an authenticity to legislate in the heavenlies, releasing the power of Holy Spirit that restrains evil in our territory that we're assigned to. See, if you allow junk in your house, you will be limited by the junk in your house from restraining evil. Part of the reason the church has had zero, almost zero effect, I won't say zero, but almost zero effect in restraining the evil that is in our culture is because we've allowed the evil inside our gates. We got to learn how to protect at the gate. You'll hear me say from time to time, "Not on my watch." Not on my watch. That isn't happening on my watch. You need to adopt that. Because if you're a watchman, if you're a gatekeeper over your own soul, over your family, as an intercessor, as a member, a shareholder of this body, you need to have your eyes tuned to watch and go, "That isn't happening on my watch." Because when we say, "That's not happening on my watch," the Holy Spirit will say, "Okay, here's how you pray. Here's what you do. Here's how you move. Here's how you do..." All of these things to shut those gates. Are we zealous to see the holiness of God in our culture? I am. I'm tired of seeing people dying because of evil in our culture. I'm tired of seeing families disrupted and kids tossed to and fro all over the place. Church, rise up. Let's be the instrument through whom Holy Spirit will restrain evil in our day. That's what he always wants to do. We're not asking him to do something he doesn't want to do. He wants to do it. He's saying, "Where's an instrument I can do it through?" Gates are also gates of government. When our gate is clean and we're flowing in the power of Holy Spirit, hearing what the Spirit of God is saying, knowing what the Word of God is saying, we receive the strategies from heaven to legislate, which is governmental, and it takes a government to overthrow a government. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell, the government of hell, will not prevail against the government of God. But we got to move there. It's a part of the gate. Sitting in the gate as elders is to release the governmental decrees of heaven into the earth, because God's looking for somebody that will give voice to what he's already saying. Amen. He's already saying it. Amen. We're not asking him to do something he's not already doing. Do we have ears to hear, and do we have a will and a mouth that obeys? Amen. So gates are government, and gates are also gates of glory. See, when there's a gate of glory and the King of Glory comes in, when the King of Glory walks in and manifests his presence, everything shifts. You can feel the atmosphere shift when the King of Glory walks in. It shifted tonight. There was a shift in the atmosphere. There was an awe and a reverence. There was a saturation of his tender mercies and loving kindness. Because remember, when Moses was in the cleft of the rock and he said, "Let me see you." And he said, "I'm going to let my glory pass before you." What did he see? He saw his loving kindness, didn't he? See, when his loving kindness, when his glory comes in, you encounter the loving kindness of God. And it's the loving kindness of God that leads us to repentance. See, if we get to be a gate of glory, you're going to start seeing people repent. Because loving kindness will flow through the body of Christ, and people will be encountered with the reality of who Christ is. So that's what a gate is. But last week we talked about gates of praise. How many of you got tested in your gate of praise this week? Had some tough things where, okay, I know I'm supposed to praise through. I'm supposed to praise in, and I'm supposed to praise no matter what. And whoop, you get hit with the mully grubs when you get up in the morning. But we got to learn how to praise, to release that clamorously foolish song of the Lord in the midst of gross darkness. Because we talked about the praise is to honor and extol the Lord our God. When the devil's coming at you, I lift high the name of Jesus. I declare and decree that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no other one like you. You are altogether glorious. You are the lifter of my head. You are the one who crowns me with tender mercies. You are the great I am. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the one who took me out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock. And I give you praise, glory, and honor. For you are my Savior. You're my deliverer. You're my healer. You're my help. You're my hope. You're my everything. You're the one and only. You're the one that I run to. See, as soon as you start doing this, he comes. And according to the psalm, you lift up your Tehillah praise to the Lord. It creates a great big throne, and he comes, sits down right in the middle of it. So when you got a mess in your house, begin to praise the name of Jesus. You got a mess on your job, begin to praise the name of Jesus and watch the throne be created right there in the middle, and the darkness has to flee. Atmosphere shifts. Somebody walks into your office and goes, "Everything else around here feels pretty yucky, but I'm going to come hang out with you." See, people should want to hang out with us because there's an atmosphere of the presence of God created by the atmosphere of praise in our lives. See, our gate has to be filled with praise. See, when we praise, it gives that entrance for the King of Glory to come in. Let's praise him. One of the things I thought after last week is I have been asking the Lord to release an exuberant sound of praise among us. It's not our nature. I mean, come on, y'all look at me like I'm like nuts. Exuberant praise and joyful celebration is not necessarily our personality. Except for a couple of us. Dina and Christine. And it's okay. Do you know it's okay? God created us this way. But you know what? Sometimes when we're a little bit more somber, we have to get into a place where we celebrate. And then those who naturally celebrate sometimes have to get into a place a little bit more awe and reverence. Come on, get the joy going. But seriously, if we're going to create a house that reflects heaven, we're going to have the joyful celebration and the awe and wonder. We got to have it all. And there's a whole lot of other things in the mix. That's just two I chose. So see, when we release that praise that's authentic out of the depths for who he is and for all he's done for us, it opens wide a gate for the glorious King to come in. But as I was praying about today, and I actually thought I was going in a different direction, and the Lord said, if you're really going to create a gate, you're really going to be a gate, and you're really going to sit in the gate, it has to be a gate of Holy Spirit. And see, a lot of us, how many of us were raised in denominational church? Look at that. Non-charismatic, non-Pentecostal denominational church. A whole majority of us. How many of you ever heard a teaching on Holy Spirit when you were a kid? I didn't get many. All I got basically was he points to Jesus. Yeah, I got a lot of the he doesn't do that today. He retired. But see, we didn't learn about the person and the work of Holy Spirit. In fact, we were rebuked if we talked about Holy Spirit because you're not supposed to talk about Holy Spirit. You're only supposed to talk about Jesus. Well, can I let you in a little secret? If you don't know Holy Spirit, you really don't know Jesus. So tonight, we're going to talk about Holy Spirit. Unashamedly, we're going to talk about the person of Holy Spirit. And next week, we're going to talk about the work of Holy Spirit. Because I want to bring some correction to some stuff about how we refer and relate to Holy Spirit, especially related to gifts. Because I'm going to strip us of our own identity being wrapped up in a gift. I mean, if we can get this, it'll liberate us to be free in the Spirit to be all he wants us to be. And the doing will be totally up to him, and we won't put our little buggy hands around it. I read in Ann Graham Lott's prayer focus this morning, Lord, forgive us for giving you glory and keeping a 10% commission for ourselves. Whoa. I mean, that was like a kaboom. Lord, forgive us for operating in your gifts and claiming credit. That somehow I'm gifted. It's not our gift. So I'm just going to read some scriptures to start. Is that okay? Matthew 16:18. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. This is speaking about the government. The gates of hell being a government, they will not prevail. Mark 16:15-20. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. Means all of you. They will speak with new tongues. That means all of you. They will pick up serpents. Not the way some of our Pentecostal brothers do in the mountains of Appalachia. But you get my point. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. While the Lord worked with them. Now, he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. How does the Lord work with you? By the Spirit of God. And confirmed the word by the signs that followed. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of what? All nations, teaching them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." You know, that was a key verse in my growing up. They just tended to forget in the name of the Father and the Son and the, you know, it was just like it was said, but it wasn't said. "Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Again, how is he with us except by the power of the Spirit? Luke 24, 46 through 49. "And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" And John 14, verses 16 to 17, and then verse 26. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you." You see, everything that I've just read is contingent upon the residing, empowering presence of Holy Spirit. You cannot be a witness apart from the Holy Spirit. You just really can't be. You may share a word with somebody, but you're really not going to be a witness because you will not have the anointing of Holy Spirit to confirm what you're saying. It's not our job to convict people. It's not our job to convince people. It's the job of Holy Spirit. We speak what he says to speak, and he does the work. Isn't that beautiful? Sure does take a lot of weight off of us, doesn't it? But we've got to shift the way we know Holy Spirit. We're going to look at some of the attributes of who Holy Spirit is. First of all, he is the promise of the Father. Holy Spirit is not an afterthought. Holy Spirit is not a rescue agent. Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. He is the gift. It's not just what he does or enables us. He is the gift of the Father. See, when you realize that Holy Spirit is the gift of the Father and it's the promise, there's an honor. Because when somebody gives you a gift, you have to receive that gift, right? The Father is saying, "I want to give you the best gift ever." To the church in Atlanta, Father wants to give you the promise gift of Holy Spirit. See, I believe the heart of the Father grieves over the church in this city who tries to do what he said do without the power of the Spirit. I said to a pastor one time, I'm afraid we're doing our children a disservice. He looked at me and he said, why? I said, because we're leading them to faith in Christ, but not leading them to the fullness of Holy Spirit. Then we're requiring them to live the Christ-like life without Christ's Spirit. So they hit high school, and they don't have the fullness and the power of Holy Spirit to empower them to live victoriously. And they get hit with temptation on the left and the right and above and below. And they're like, I know I can't do this. And they have no power indwelling in them in fullness to resist evil and to live in the fear of the Lord. See, there's nothing in Scripture that says that you get saved when you're 7 like I did and wait till you're nearly 31 to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, what if I had been filled with the Holy Spirit at 7? I can tell you a whole lot of things I wouldn't have done between 7 and 31. A whole lot of things that I would have understood when God was speaking to me that I didn't understand because I didn't understand who Holy Spirit was. Because he was talking to me. He doesn't talk. Well, I must be imagining that. It must be my vain imaginations. And yet now, at 57, I know he was telling me this stuff when I was 8. God help us. Think about this for the Father. Mark 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, we don't have to worry. Will he give us the Holy Spirit? All we have to do is ask. We try to make it all this hard, jump through hoops thing. Ask. He's a good daddy. He loves to give Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49 says, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. See, when we ask and we say, Abba, give me Holy Spirit, your promise. We receive by faith, but we should expect an enduing with power from on high. See, to think that we just get filled with the Holy Spirit and there's no change in our life is a deception. Because you could go around saying, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and if there's no change in your life, where's the fruit of your proclamation? Sometimes we do have to tarry a while. He gives, but we tarry till we know we've been endued. Sometimes we just need to go sit in the presence of the Lord and say, God, I've got to have more. You know, Jesus breathed on the disciples and he said, receive the Holy Spirit in John 20. And they received, right? But it's these same disciples he said, tarry until you're endued with power. See, I don't want to just be filled. I want to be endued with power. And that is the promise of the Father, because Holy Spirit dwelling in us empowers us to live victorious, empowers us to comprehend what is the will of the Father, empowers us to receive the teaching that he's giving, because he is the teacher. You know, some of us may stand up here and teach, but if it's not Holy Spirit teaching you, I'm just flapping my lips. And if Holy Spirit is not activated inside of you to teach you, the person next to you may get it and you may sit there and go, I didn't get a thing. Don't blame it on somebody else. I mean, sometimes as teachers, we mess it up here. No doubt. But the first place I always ask, if I'm not getting something out of somebody that's up front, that's prepared and given themselves to preparation, I always say, if I'm not getting something out of this, is there something going on the inside of me? Am I shut down somewhere? Usually, you know what? It's right here. Has nothing to do with them. It's right here. So always ask. He wants to give. He's the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and He is the Spirit of Christ. I know that sounds so simplistic, and you're like, well, of course He is. But we need to realize just what that means. Look at Genesis 1:2. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over all the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of what? God was moving over all the waters. See, from the very beginning, the Spirit of God was active in creation. He wasn't something that got added after Jesus was ascended. He wasn't something that got added at Jesus' baptism. The Spirit of God hovered over the earth. Matthew 3:16, and after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on Him. See, this passage tells us that it's the Spirit of God, and it gives us a little hint into one of the attributes of the Spirit of God. Is He's like a dove. Now, what does that say to you? A dove is gentle. He's a carrier of peace. We have doves that come on our back porch. This year, we just started having these doves that come and sit on our back porch and walk around. We've got cardinals, and we've got orioles, and we've got, I mean, it's just like we've become this haven for all these birds. A lot of the birds, if we're out there, they'll just come and stay around. The doves, typically, though, they want to be there when nobody else is there. They're beginning. They were out there today when I was on the back porch studying. But see, there, I was just sitting there. There was no activity. The dogs weren't there. But see, they're gentle. Holy Spirit is gentle like a dove. You can do something and they flit away. See, we've got to be careful not to offend Holy Spirit, not to grieve Holy Spirit, to not shun Him away. See, He's gentle as a dove, but He wants to come and rest upon us and be with us. He's also strong and powerful. Matthew 12:28 says, Jesus said this, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The Holy Spirit cast out demons. So He can be really gentle, but He is not afraid. He is not afraid. He's bold. He's powerful. He is an anointing that cast out demons. Romans 8:9 says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells, where? In you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. See, if you believe in Jesus, you are sealed, according to Ephesians, with the Spirit of Christ. You are sealed. I don't want to just be sealed. I live for years sealed, but not empowered, not emboldened, not enabled by the Spirit of God to do the very works that Jesus did, which He said we would do, and we can't do them apart from Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit comes and He dwells within us. He fills us. He overtakes. He becomes the expression of Lord God Almighty inside of us. Where the Spirit is Lord, there's liberty. Where the Spirit is Lord, there's empowerment. Where the Spirit is Lord, there's enablement, divine enablement. There's grace to do what He says do, but more importantly, there's grace to be who He says you are. He is the breath. He's the life force of Almighty God. He is the Spirit of revelation. You want revelation? You have to tap in and lean into Holy Spirit because He is the Spirit of revelation. 1 Corinthians 2:10-16. Patty Amstead dwelt a lot in this passage the other day, but I'm going to read it over us again. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Do you want to know the depths of God? Holy Spirit searches it out. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which dwells in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Do you sometimes get something deep down on the inside of you that you know and you don't have words for yet? That's Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit bringing a revelation, and He continues to work with that He's deposited in your spirit until it comes forth to birth out in spiritual words to the spiritual thoughts that are within you. Because sometimes we don't sit long enough in the presence of the Lord to let those spiritual thoughts percolate until they come to fruition. So they come to a point where we can give articulation to them. We've got to get out of being the McDonald's generation and go sit down with the Father and dine at His table like you're at a fine dining restaurant where you go for 3 hours. I mean, seriously? I enjoy going to a fine dining restaurant. It's one of the delights of my life. I don't like McDonald's. And it's not good for you. Whoever said that, that was brilliant. May I say the same thing is true in the things of the Spirit? If all you're doing is spending time with the Lord in a drive-through mode, you're going to get drive-through revelation. And you may get revelation that's not from Holy Spirit. Just like you can go through McDonald's and they say it's a hamburger and it may or may not be beef. No disrespect intended to McDonald's, but you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes God drops things in a hurry and He'll just drop. You'll be driving down and He'll just drop in a revelation. Anybody else have that happen? But there's a percolating. There is a refining and a maturing of that word that happens as we sit and we meditate and we pray and we study. The Spirit of God combines spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. See, we like to proclaim that last part, that we have the mind of Christ. May I propose to you, you will not walk in the mind of Christ if you're not walking in the Holy Spirit. Because He is the one who reveals the mind of Christ to you. See, even as a kid and as a young adult, I'd say, we've got the mind of Christ. I didn't understand that if I didn't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I didn't have the capacity to have the mind of Christ. Because it's discerned by the Spirit, not by the carnal mind. I could quote Scripture to you all day long. I could even cross-reference it and say, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here. I could line upon line, but it didn't have the breath of the Spirit of God on it. Therefore, it was not really the mind of Christ, because the Spirit of Christ is Holy Spirit. God's wanting us to get this. The Holy Spirit knows and reveals the deep things of God. Holy Spirit will even cause you to hunger for the deep things of God. Because in and of your natural self, you're not going to hunger for the deep things of God. But when the Holy Spirit begins moving on the inside of you, He'll say, did you know this? Look at this. All of a sudden you're reading along in the Word and it's like it lifts off the page like a skyscraper. And you go, That's the Spirit of the living God bringing you to know the depths. And the more you know, the more you don't know. I mean, the more I know about the living God, the more I realize I don't know anything. Makes me hungry to know more. Holy Spirit reveals the thoughts of God. If you're battling with thoughts about yourself, ask Holy Spirit to reveal the thoughts of God about you. Because see, when we tap into His thoughts over us, it'll kick our stinking thinking out. When we begin to hear God's thoughts and God's dreams over our life and God's delights in us and the things that God thinks about us, it changes the way we think about ourselves. Because you know, you can't love others till you love yourself. And you can't love yourself apart from the revelation of God's love for you. See, I used not to love myself at all. I mean, like, horrifically not at all. It means I didn't love anybody else either. I thought I did. But I had such a despising for me that I couldn't love even those that I thought I loved. But see, when I had a revelation of God's thoughts toward me, and God's love toward me, it shifted everything. And I was able to love, not by trying to work it up to do the right thing, to act loving. Because I could put on a good act and everybody thought it was great. Now, this is way back, long before I knew you, girlfriend. You got me after I got rid of the religious know-how-to-act-right stuff. Because, you know, you go through some rough things when you get rid of the religious know-how-to-act-right stuff, and then you finally move into the good stuff. Okay, does that set somebody free? It should. The Holy Spirit reveals the things that God has freely given us. See, I know that some of us struggle with, what has God given me? I don't have anything. I've heard it out of your mouth. Holy Spirit reveals what God's given you. See, there's no end to what He's given you because He's giving you Himself. When you realize He's given you Himself, then you don't have to worry about, well, I'm not as talented as somebody else. I mean, none of us are quite as talented with as many things or as bright as Dina. I mean, really? I'm picking on her. She's talented. She's bright. She's full of joy. But see, if we try to compare how we're gifted with Dina or with Teresa or with Rick or Sandra or Randy or John or Joe or Mia, I mean, if we compare ourselves against each other, you're always going to fall short. Because your eyes are on the wrong thing. See, our eyes are supposed to be upon Christ and upon Father and upon Holy Spirit. And He says, I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. See, He's given you everything you need for life and godliness to fulfill what He created you for. He knows your personalities the way it is.
Thank God.
Now, that doesn't mean that our personality, because it's been fashioned by our experiences, that sometimes it needs some refining, right? We need some healing. We need to have some polishing done. Anybody else need polishing? I need some polishing. But He knows how He made us so that we could fulfill the destiny. And He then takes who we are, how He fashioned us. He knows how tall you are. He knows your size. He knows the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, the color of your skin. He knows the sound of your voice. He knows your movements. And he said, I say it's beautiful. I say it's beautiful. And into that vessel that I call, that God says, I call you, I give you in the power of my Spirit everything. Everything that you need for life and godliness. See, our life is in Him. Who we're created to be is found in Him. It says back to this whole thing about He wrote our lives in a book before we were ever formed in our mother's wombs. He wrote that down and He said, I'm giving you everything you need to fulfill that. And you know, God doesn't write junk in our books. And see, this is another one of those places we have to get out of the thinking of what I'm called, what's written in my book, as compared to what's written in Beverly's book. See, when you stand before the throne, you're not going to be asked, how did your life measure up to Crystal's? Yours is going to be, did you do what I put in your heart to do? And I've given you everything that you need to do that. That's our Holy Spirit. That's who dwells inside of you. That's who empowers you. That's who releases that revelation to you. It's all that God has given to us. Holy Spirit reveals that. Holy Spirit knows and reveals the mind of Christ. Are you wrestling over what should I do in this situation? Holy Spirit reveals the mind of Christ. And as much as Tyler Perry thinks he has a corner on the market with trademarking, what would Jesus do? I don't know if y'all heard that this week. But he trademarked the phrase, what would Jesus do? I hate to tell him, it's already taken by Holy Spirit revealing the mind of Christ. I mean, what are people thinking? Make a buck? I don't know. But that's Holy Spirit's job to reveal what would Jesus do. It's not Tyler Perry's trademark. It's a little scary. I mean, I heard that and I was like, that's a little scary. I don't think God needs him to own the trademark. Wow. But see, you have Holy Spirit who reveals what would Jesus do. Holy Spirit is also our comforter. He is comforter. He's not just our comforter. He is comforter. But we sometimes have a misunderstanding of what Paracletos is. John 14:26, but the Helper, Holy Spirit, whom Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The Paracletos is one who comes alongside. That's not just to give you a hug and make you feel better. Our Western culture says, well, comforter's just going to, I'm in the middle of my mess. He's just going to come along. He's going to make me feel good in my mess. He's going to bring to your remembrance all the things that Jesus said that'll help get you out of your mess. He comes alongside to help you, to strengthen you, to empower you, to lift you and guide you out. He is also, that Paracletos is one who pleads another's case before a judge. He's your advocate. He stands before the judge on your behalf and he says, this one has named the name of Christ. Do not hold that sin against them any longer. See, we got to shift the way we think about Holy Spirit Comforter. Our American Christianity has caused that understanding, the misunderstanding of Comforter, to just keep us in our junk. He's actually a helper to get us out. Come help us, Holy Spirit. We need some help. Did you know that when they go into the Old Testament and they translate it into Greek, and the word they use for helper, and they talk about a wife will be a helper to her husband, it's parakletos. That'll set some women free from feeling like you're just there to wash dishes and laundry. You're to help. You're to come alongside. It's an empowering. I mean, would we talk about the Holy Spirit the way some in the religious circle talk about women? I mean, seriously? But it's the same word. I said that more for the principalities and powers than y'all, by the way. Because it needs to be broken off of this city. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. See, he has to be the Spirit of truth because God is spirit. And he is incapable of lying, therefore he has to be truth. If the Holy Spirit, if somebody claims that the Holy Spirit said to tell you something and it's a lie, you can be guaranteed it's not Holy Spirit. If somebody says Holy Spirit said to do this and it doesn't line up with who God is, his will, his ways, and his what you can see in Scripture, it's not Holy Spirit. We've got to grow up and discern that the Spirit of truth always speaks truth. And he does not lie. The Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father. Jesus is truth. See, truth is not fact. Truth is a person. See, we sometimes state as truth what's fact. We could state as a fact that you're sick. But the truth is, Jesus is our healer. And that sickness was taken to the cross. That's truth. There may be sickness as a fact in your body, but a truth trumps a fact. So we have to learn how to speak truth, not just rehearse facts. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. Zechariah 12:10, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace and supplication, so that they will look on me whom they've pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. That word grace is the word chen, C-H-E-N. And it means favor, grace, charm, elegance, acceptance. Its root is to be gracious, to show favor, to pity, to show consideration. But get this, the word supplication, I'm not even going to attempt to say the original word that means supplication or entreaty for grace or entreaty for favor. The root word is C-H-A-N-A-N, which is a derivative of C-H-E-N. So it's grace. It's a spirit of grace and the spirit of entreating for grace. See, it's all about receiving his grace. It's God's grace being released to be and to do all he created us to be. It's God's grace to receive the revelation that Jesus Christ is the only living Son of God. It is God's grace being released through the Holy Spirit that we may know his will and his ways, that we may know the power of God unto salvation. It's his grace that we might supplicate the Father, that grace might be poured out on our families, that grace may be poured out on our cities, that grace may be poured out on our nation. See, he's giving to us the spirit of grace and supplication. He gives it to us and then empowers us to pray for the grace to be released on others. In Hebrews 10:29, it says, how much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has been trampled under the foot of the Son of God and is regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace. See, that word grace there is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, the same word we get charisma from. It's the loving kindness, the goodwill. It's that which affords us joy and affords us pleasure and affords us sweetness and the loveliness of life. Plus, it is what is due to grace. See, God gives you grace. The charisma comes from His Spirit of grace that you may be and do what He's called you to. It's through His grace that the gifts of the Spirit may be manifested, but it's His Spirit manifesting, not you. Is that following? You making sense? See, it's a spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace. I want to be governed by the power of divine grace. I want us to be governed by the power of divine grace. Not doing our own will, but doing that which the Spirit of grace leads and empowers us to do. And I'll close with this one. The Holy Spirit is holy. Psalm 51:11. David cried out, "Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." That word holy in the Old Testament is a word that means apartness, sacredness, separateness. Comes from the root kadash, to consecrate, to sanctify, to be hallowed, to be holy, to be separate, to be altogether different than any other. See, when we say God is holy, we're saying He's pure, but we're saying that there is no other one like Him. Nobody else is like Him. So when Holy Spirit comes, He's a spirit unlike any other. He's altogether different. He is altogether pure. In Mark 1:8 says, "I baptized you with water, but He," speaking of Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And in some translations it says, "and fire." See, holy there is hagios, and it's most holy. It's pure. It's clean. It's sacred. See, when Holy Spirit comes, He's totally undefiled. When He comes into a room, there's a purity and a holiness that He brings with Him because it's who He is. Not just something He does, it's who He is. And He comes so that we might fulfill the word of God that says, "Be holy even as I am holy." Are you capable of being holy? But when Holy Spirit comes in, He enables you to be holy in your actions, but He enables you to be holy as altogether different than the world around you. See, it's time for the church to rise up and be holy. I mean, we've seen the holiness movements of the past where it was all about externals. I believe with everything in me, Holy Spirit is birthing in this generation a move of holiness that will be a demonstration of living from the inside out. It'll affect our externals. It has to, because we've got to be authentic. We've got to be real. What's on the inside has got to be demonstrated with what's on the outside. What's on the inside of our heart is going to be demonstrated by what comes out of our mouth, which means that the holiness of the Lord is going to produce righteousness in us. He's holy. He's altogether holy. And I am going to add one more just so I can finish this up. Holy Spirit is the carrier of the power of God. He is the Spirit of power and might. Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." See, we cannot be true witnesses of the living God apart from the power of the Spirit of God. Acts 10:38 says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and with power." and how he went about doing good. Do you know you can't do good apart from the Holy Spirit? Not really. You know, I hear the phrase do-gooders, but it's not really doing good. Because there's only one good. But he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Romans 15:13-19. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power who births and fills you with hope. Anybody need some hope? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just a one-time dunking. Be being filled every day, multiple times a day, because I don't know about you, I leak. Okay? We need to be a conduit. We need to look at our lives as a conduit for the fullness of Holy Spirit to flow through us. In the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:5-6. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit. That word power is dynamis. It is the power, the might, the strength, the power residing in a thing by the very virtue of its nature. See, Holy Spirit is power. He's going to be power in you regardless of who you are. Because it isn't about you. We simply become a vessel. He, this very Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in these earthen vessels. Glory! Isn't that amazing? That the very Spirit of the power of God dwells inside of you to make a difference where you live, work, and play. Which means that when you go to the restaurant, the Holy Spirit in you can give you a word of knowledge for that waitress. We need to be saying, Holy Spirit, I am a willing vessel. See, we don't see a lot of that because we think, well, I don't have that gift of knowledge. Yes, you do. You have Holy Spirit. That waitress may need you to pray for her healing. Well, I don't have the gift of healing. Yes, you do. You have the Holy Spirit. Whatever is needed in the moment, if you say, Holy Spirit, I'm here. I'm open. Use me. Because see, when we get to the place where we realize it's all Him and we're just nothing but a tube being used, then we'll take off of it all of our credit. I believe in this country we'll begin to see people raised from the dead when we'll quit when the Holy Spirit knows we won't try to make a name for ourselves over having raised somebody from the dead. We'll start seeing some signs, wonders, and miracles happening when we say, God, I'm just a conduit to pray for this sister or this brother. I'm just a conduit to pray for this one to get healed. And I don't care if anybody knows it was me or not, because it doesn't matter. See, that's what the whole premise of the nameless, faceless generation's about. It's not saying we won't have leaders. It's just simply saying everybody's going to be doing the stuff so that it doesn't matter who the leader is, except for accountability and alignment, so that the life of God's flowing through all of us unhindered. Because I'll just tell you, as a leader in this house, if you go out and raise somebody from the dead, I'm going to sing, shout, and celebrate all over the place that God did it. I'm ready to see some more cancers healed. Some kids deliver from ADD and autism. I'm ready to see some people be freed from poverty. Be freed from spirits of control. Some people free to live victorious. I'm ready to be in such a place that we're moving in the power of the Spirit of God that will open doors of provision that will astound, because it's God that has given us the ability to make wealth that His kingdom may be established on the earth. Holy Spirit, we're yours. Holy Spirit, fill us. Holy Spirit, empower us. Endue us with power from on high. Holy Spirit, release the joy of the Lord in us. Holy Spirit, release faith in us. Holy Spirit, release wisdom and revelation, knowledge and might, counsel and the fear of the Lord in us. Holy Spirit, strengthen us. Holy Spirit, deliver us out of our messes, but Holy Spirit, deliver us into our destiny. Holy Spirit, release words of knowledge. Release words of wisdom. Release miracles. Release the songs of the Lord. Release prophetic utterances. Release divine revelation. Release gifts of healing. Release that power of God unto salvation. Release the evangelistic anointing among us. Release the power to rescue those that are bound in darkness. Holy Spirit, release among us all that you know is needed for us to fulfill that which the Father has written about us. Holy Spirit, release a fresh release of this praying in tongues. Holy Spirit, release tongues and interpretation of tongues among us. We declare that here we are open for the fullness of all the manifestations of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, release the gift of reconciliation among us. Release recovery of all, restoration of all. Release divine insight into your word. Release teaching. Release passion out of the heart of the Father for each other, and passion out of the heart of the Father for our families, for our city, for our nation. Holy Spirit, release creative ideas, ingenuity, Holy Spirit, we open ourselves wide to you. And we say, we're simply conduits for your glory. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. For God has called you to be a carrier of His glory, to be instruments of His peace, to be conduits of His power everywhere you go. Release a fresh anointing upon us, Holy Spirit. I just keep hearing this again and again. Take the limits off. If you've got a limit around your thinking about what God could, would, or should do through you, I want you to, I just see it around some people's heads. I want everybody to put your hand up on your head. And I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I take the limits off and yank it off. Lord, release the mind of Christ. Holy Spirit, release the mind of Christ. There is nothing. You need to hear this. There's nothing you can't do that Holy Spirit prompts in you. It's not reserved for me or Bradley or some of our other leaders. It's for the body. There's nothing that I can do that you can't do, and maybe better, probably better. Okay? That's just real. This just happens to be my assignment. Doesn't make me better, doesn't make me worse. It's just my assignment. And my assignment is to encourage you to fulfill your assignment in the power of Holy Spirit. Because see, when every joint and every tendon is yielded to the power of Holy Spirit doing what God's called us to do, there will be a rise of the body of Christ in this city that will turn the city upside down. And it's going to happen here, and it's going to happen there, it's going to happen there, and it's going to happen all over the place. And eventually God's going to have us connecting enough with each other that there will be a force in this city empowered by Holy Spirit that will be like a tsunami. I mean, I see it. Now, if I look at the natural, I kind of go, But I see it in the Spirit, and I'm choosing to go by what I see by the Spirit of truth, not by what I see with my natural eyes. So, Holy Spirit, we say yes. We say yes. Now, what I want you to do is I want, as we close, I want you to turn to somebody, and I want you to pray over them, prophesy over them, give them a word of knowledge, whatever Holy Spirit gives you. Do it right now. Go to somebody.